What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that it's a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
Give God one more hand clap of praise. Now, I want you to do something for me as we start this off. We're going to do something a little different in that we'll have an illustration to start it off. But pull out your cell phone and know we're not about to turn the lights off this morning. Amen. Last Sunday, I had you pull out your cell phone. We turned the lights off. We're not doing that. We're going to pull your cell phone out. Come on, get it out. Amen. We should see all the phones out. Amen. If it was any other time, you'd always have your phone anyway. Amen. As a matter of fact, your phone being left at home is one of the only reasons. Well, I ain't gonna say the only reasons, because half of y'all be late all the time. Amen. But those of us who are habitually on time, amen, those of us who get places when we're supposed to be there, one of the rare reasons that we may accept being a little tardy is if we left that phone at home. Amen. Because there's something about not having it that just feels awkward, right? But I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to open the camera on your phone. Open the camera on your phone. And I want you to turn it into selfie mode, so make sure that it's facing you. Some of y'all do this all the time, amen? I ain't asked you to take one, I just said. Some of y'all ready? Ooh, Pastor, we about to post our selfies. You can, but that wasn't the point. Amen. I want you to hold it up, and I want you to look at it. When you look into a camera, much like when you look into a mirror, it's designed to show you, right, what exists. When you look into a camera or you look into a mirror, it should have a reflection of reality, right? Now, a lot of times, we don't like the reality that it shows us. Especially with cameras, we get creative to try to alter the reality. If we got a little extra pounds on us, we hold the camera up high. Amen? Some of y'all, when y'all get people to take your picture, you say, wait a minute, slide that camera on up a little bit more. I'm trying to slim it down. But a camera and a mirror, they are designed to show you what already is. You can put your phone away. Take your selfie if you want to go ahead and post it. You know, just make sure you say and that you check in at Love Alive Church and say we are at Love Alive, selfie at Love Alive Church. Amen. We will go ahead and take that free PR right now. Amen. But by nature, a camera, a mirror, is designed to show you what is reality. And when we talk about reflecting heaven, then what we have to talk about is how we create a reality that looks like heaven. So if something was suddenly to show us, if we had a spiritual camera or a spiritual mirror in front of us, we wanted to be able to show us that we are already demonstrating what heaven looks like. And as a church, any church has a responsibility to reflect heaven. We've been talking about culture carriers. We understand that cultures can be unique. We each have our own culture based upon who God called us to reach. But at the end of the day, each and every church should have one single focus to reflect heaven. And let me propose to you that the church is not what is the four walls. Amen. The four walls are nice. They're great. We need this because we need to gather together, amen, as a family. But we individually are the church. Amen. We could be outside. It'd be too hot out there, amen. Sometimes it's warm in here, but trust me, I guarantee you, if you step outside, you will understand, amen. There is a difference. Come on, somebody. We love Louisiana to the summer. We be bragging, oh, we got the great food. Oh, we got this. Summertime coming, we be like, one thing we are not proud of is this heat. Amen. But we want to learn to reflect heaven. We want to be able to model what it looks like to operate as a body with the focus of making sure that when people encounter us, they encounter a heavenly experience or a heaven-like experience, and that we will be prepared, amen, to enter into heaven. So if we already practice well down here, we'll be ready to go, amen. We don't want y'all getting to heaven and having to have a remedial course, because you ain't know. Some of y'all had remedial courses, it's all right, you know what I mean? If that's what you got to do to get to the next level, by all means, all right? Keep advancing. But here at Love Alive, we're trying to take the remedial course away as it relates to reflecting heaven. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay attentive. And look at the neighbor on the other side and say, neighbor, I hope you pass the test. And you ain't cheating off me. Because some of y'all were strategic about where you sat in the class. Where do you find the smart person in the room? I don't know, Megan making all A's in law school. I'm sure the students in law school want to sit next to her. But in Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 9, it says this. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hand. I want to read it again. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. This shows us that God has the intention of reaching everybody. Everybody. Everybody, every race, every tribe, every nation, not just America, but the world. Amen. God has the intention of reaching everybody. So if this is the will of the Father, then we have to also be intentional about that here on earth. We're talking about culture carriers. One of the things that we said early on in our church is that we wanted to build a church that looks like heaven. And that's a really audacious goal, right? And when you say that in many ways, but it's really not. Because the practice of it is simple. If we are a church that's purposeful, if we are a church that understands who God is, if we understand that love, you know, when we talk about love alive, if we really break down the name love alive, then we're truly saying God alive, because the Bible lets us know that God is love. So anywhere we encounter love or we see the word love, we should be able to replace it with God. And so if this church is love alive, then God should be alive in this place. Amen? I don't know about you, but I know me personally, I would not want to go to a dead church. And I just don't, I can't do it. Some of y'all been coming here a while, and then it's like you went back to one of those other experiences, and we ain't knocking them, right? But you sat for about 5 minutes, you was like, Lord, I'm not used to this no more. Right? You'd be like, wait a minute, there's more to it than this. Right? Some of you, when you're scrolling on social media, some of the things you see, you're like, oh my God, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that. Right? So I would never want to be in a dead church, but I also would not want to be in a church that did not reflect and embody the love of God. We've all sat in experiences before and gone into them, and we'd be like, I mean, do you really have a relationship with God? Why are you that mad all the time? The ushers walking around like, who I'm going to get straight today. My role is to usher anybody out of here that ain't complying, right? Stand at the end of the row, get that gum, spit it out. Got the lap cloths for poor little ladies. They might be just coming in off the street and just trying to encounter God. And they got all kind of, we done been in situations in the church where we did not know how to reflect the love of God. And so as a body, we are love alive. We are God alive. We have a responsibility to be an environment that it is clear that God is a part of it. And some of you, when you come here every week, you come here every week because you know for a fact that you are going to have a God-filled experience. Amen? Which is why you press through all kinds of things. It could be raining outside and the people be flooding in here like, look, I ain't missing it. I got my umbrella. Amen. Rain boots and everything. But in here, because you know that there is going to be a God-filled experience. You wait all week long to be a part of it. But as a body, I don't want us to become so introspective that we don't keep the right perspective, which is that we should always be reflecting heaven so that we can attract others who also need to encounter God in the way that we do. Literally, that is the will of God, that we constantly create an environment, that we constantly create a culture, that we constantly have an appetite, that we constantly dress up in the love of God, in the character of God, in the will of God, in the purpose of God. When I dress up in these things every day, then I'm able to reflect heaven in a way that it becomes attractive to other people. And they start to say, what is it that you have? I gotta get that. I can tell you how. When you're reflecting heaven appropriately, it becomes attractive. When was the last time that somebody was attracted to Christ because of you? Let that marinate. When was the last time somebody asked you, what is it that you have? And if it's been a while, you might need to dress that thing up a little bit better. Self-evaluation, right? So reflect is to give back or show an image of. It's a mirror. Building a piece of furniture without looking at the instructions, only looking at the picture, comes out wrong every time, right? So sometimes what happens is we look at the image of something, but we don't understand the mechanics behind it. Even like we've been talking over the last few weeks, we might see the image of the culture that's been built here, but what we sought to unpack is for you to understand the mechanics behind it. How do we build this? How do we continue to become this? What is it that we're actually doing that is producing what you are experiencing? We carry the culture being reflective of heaven in every way, including our demographics. What I love about that, I was just talking to somebody about this, even on yesterday, is how wide our reach is as a church. Generationally, you know, ethnically, which we want to even do more, right? Generationally, ethnically, socioeconomically, right? We reach all different kinds of people because our reach should be that wide if we are reflecting heaven. We are not a bougie church. Amen. We not bougie. I told y'all the last 2 weeks we sophisticated. Amen. That means we can lean whatever direction you need us in. You need sophisticated people today, we could do that. And when it's time to get ratchet, we could do that too. Amen. And Jesus kept all different kinds around him. Because Peter was definitely ratchet. Wasn't none sophisticated about him. Ratchet. You want to mess with my Jesus? Let me get that ear up out you. Some of y'all need some diversity in the people. You need somebody that'll chop an ear off every now and then. Go to war with me. And then you need somebody to say, nah, that's just too ignorant. You need to stop. You're doing the most now. That's normally my wife in my life. Amen. She normally is the one that's saying, sir, it's a little bit too much. Okay. You need that balance. This is how we build a church that reflects heaven. Now, there's biblical basis for this, right? If you look in the Word of God, one of the things that we see is that heaven will be filled with many different types of people. So the scripture, again, in Revelation 7 and 9 says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every what? Nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. So this is the first thing we see. Heaven is going to be filled with many different types of people. Some people that you look down on gonna be in heaven. Some people you didn't understand gonna be in heaven. Some people you assigned to hell gonna be in heaven. Hope you don't wake up in the wrong place. Let me stop, all right? Second thing we see in the Word is that Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He did not die for a selected portion. He died for everybody, right? The Bible tells us in John 3 and 16, you ought to know this one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the what? For God so loved the what? For God so loved the? It did not say America. It did not say black people, white people, Hispanic people. It said God so loved the? So Jesus Christ died for the whole world. We're talking about a church that reflects heaven. The third thing we see is the church unifies the nations under Christ. In Galatians 3 and 28, there is neither what? Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So literally, the body of Christ should be a unifier. What is sad is that many times the body of Christ is the most divided. Divided on all kinds of stuff. We want to be divided over stupid stuff. How you baptized over there? We can't do it. You ain't getting to heaven. I'm getting to heaven. Literally, we divide over every little thing. My Jesus bigger than your Jesus. My Holy Ghost bigger than yours. My holiness is more holy than yours. It's crazy. You know, and if we would really understand the word of God, and this is the problem too. This is a whole thing in itself. Too many believers are not students of the word. They don't even study it. Can I tell you something? A lot of pastors don't study the word either. They don't. They wait on somebody else to get a word, then they preach that. They download somebody else's sermon. They don't study. And it's evident by the inability to have rhema. Because see, if you really study the word, you ought to understand the logos, but you ought to get rhema too. Because when you are a student of the word, then you are in position for God to continue to reveal himself. And you can read the same scripture 25 times and God say, let me reveal something new to you today. When you are a student of the word and you have an appetite for it. So you gotta create habits to be a student of the word. We would have less division if more people read the Bible and didn't just wait on somebody else to tell them. I love it. Fact check me all the time. Sure do it. And if you think I said something wrong, come talk to me. I love you to say I was reading in the Bible and I saw good. Let's sit down and talk. Because we both gonna read this. Let's study. Matter of fact, I love studying the word so much, I've invested in the software. I could read like 80 different translations at one time of one scripture to get a clear understanding. I didn't come to teach how to study the word today, but some of y'all need to learn too. When you are studying the word, read the scriptures above and below. Read the chapter before and after. Get the full context. One of my favorite just botched up words, right? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I cannot tell you how many faith messages I have heard preached on that scripture. When that scripture literally isn't talking about that at all. It's talking about you learning how to be humble. And we preaching, I need the mind of Christ so I can talk like Christ and I can walk like him. And if I have the mind of Christ and have authority, I got faith to believe it. Be humble. That's literally what that scripture is about. All right, amen. Back into the message. Somebody need to hear that. Somebody gonna leave out of here today and say, you know, you right, Pastor. I need to actually study the word, okay? Please do. What do we mean when we say value, right? When we talk about we wanting to be a church that looks like heaven or reflects heaven, what does that look like? If we value being a church that looks like, that reflects heaven, what do we mean when we say we value that? Number one, we value being multi-generational. We value being multi-generational. It has been important to us as a church that we are multi-generational. Love Alive Church is not the church just for the young people. And we don't have no old people. We have seasoned people. Amen. The Lord has given your boy wisdom. I know what words to eliminate from my vocabulary. Because what I know is that young is redefined every year that I get older. Amen. I'm definitely going to be 70 saying, I'm still young. And probably dressing still hip. I don't care what y'all say. He ought to dress his age. No, I'm not. Amen. I'm still young. So our church, it's important for us to be multi-generational. Now, I will say, when we first started, we saw a lot more younger people. You know, my wife and I are young, right? So when they naturally, younger people say, oh, they're young. Let me go see, right? The seasoned people came in. They had to see that we actually had some sense about ourselves and that we had some wisdom, right? They had to look. They stayed around for a while. They said, wait a minute. You might got a little something with you. We will. Because a lot of people be wanting, they want more seasoned people to be a part of what they're doing, but they lack wisdom. Or they think that they don't need the guidance of elders in their lives. See, God has set up his body to operate a certain way where there is a need for elders and the younger generation to work together. Sometimes younger people have the energy to carry out what the seasoned generation have the wisdom to help them to implement. All of it is necessary. So we are a church who values being multi-generational, right? The Bible says this in Proverbs 20 and 29. The glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of, now the Bible said, oh, amen. I ain't say it. Seasoned, all right? So what I see here is energy and wisdom. And when you couple the two together, you can get much more done. If you have all the energy in the world doing stupid stuff, you're going to get stupid results. If you have all the wisdom in the world but can't execute it, nothing gets done. Both are what? We value being a church that's multi-generational, which is why we have sought to build that in leadership as well, right? We have a multi-generational pastoral team. Everything I'm talking about today, where we're, some of it we're killing it on, some of it we got to do better. And we are going to keep working at it. All right? Number two, we value multi-levels of affluence. So differing levels of affluence affords us the opportunity to learn a lot from each other. You know, a lot of times, you know, I can see congregations where they all look a certain way. You know what I mean? Either we all going through the struggle or we all think we got everything, all right? We need combinations. We need a certain level, a certain ability to remain focused. So sometimes when we've moved to a new place, we need to remain humble and know where God has brought us from. Sometimes when we're trying to get to the next place, we need somebody who can help us to get there. But there is value to both. Whether you are fully affluent, whether you are striving, we value all of it. We do. This is not a church just for the popular people. It's not. It's cool if you're popular, but one thing that we say here at our church is we don't have a spotlight culture. We don't. So it's like the people who really need the spotlight, they don't last at our church because we don't have a spotlight culture. We stand in the light together. Come on. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting right now. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter verse 14 says, right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be what? So as a body, we don't consider the haves, the have-nots, the good, the bad. We don't do all that. We value everybody. And we love that. I love looking out. When I tell you I love looking out, seeing these characteristics modeled in our church, because it is important to us. All right? This next one going to rub some of you the wrong way. I'm already going to let you know. All right? Look at your neighbor, say neighbor. You're going to be a little uncomfortable. Look at your other neighbor, say neighbor. Pastor don't care. Amen. Just so we're clear. The third thing, we value multi-political perspectives. Well, I knew that was the place right there. No, Pastor, we all be the same way. This how we, no, we value multi-political perspectives. And we know that everybody is not going to have the same political view here. That is actually healthy. So we can learn from each other. Now, I know sometimes when you're having political discussions, you look at the other person like, I really can't understand why you think like that. All right, it happens to me too. I look and I'm like, I don't get it. But that is an individual perspective. One thing you will never hear from me from the pulpit is telling you who to vote for. I'm not going to do that. That is your individual right. Now, we may give you information on what might be happening so you'll know, but I am not going to be, I cringe when I see pastors tell their people who to die. I will never use my authority to have control over something that belongs to you. Amen. Did y'all know that they're going to be both Democrats and Republicans in heaven?
Right. And independents.
And independents, too. I was going to say. And all of them. And I don't even vote all of it. All those. All of the above. Going to heaven. Right? No one political ideology makes you Christian or a heathen. And if you study multiple political platforms, you truly would have to blend them all to do what would be considered more of a Christian-focused platform. Neither of them have it all the way right. But in church, that's another thing that divides us. You know, I cannot tell you, like, just being a pastor that has stood up for social economic issues and things of that nature, I would have so many people come for me, you know, other pastors and stuff, and tell me, our brother, what we need to do. And I just tell them, you do what God called you to do, and I'm going to do what he called me to do. I'm going to make my personal decision, and you make yours. What I told y'all a couple weeks, I told them, I don't care what you think about what God has called me to do. And that's not arrogance, that's me being informed and comfortable in who God created me to be. When you are a part of a body, you have to be comfortable as that. A lot of us struggle with our purpose because we haven't become comfortable in who we are. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. I am headed for sure destruction if I only ever listen to people who agree with me. If nobody in your life looks at you and say, that's a little off. You wrong about that. Your circle ain't right. You need somebody that's going to pull you to the side and say, uh-uh, let's talk about it. Now, great friends know how to communicate effectively. Amen. I consider myself one who adapts his communication to who he is dealing with. But I am still going to tell you if it's. And if you don't want that from me, then that's cool. You know, you just be the fool. Amen. I'm going to go on and be happy. Amen. This doesn't mean you must agree or that you will ever agree. You know, it just means that when I am challenged, I have an ability to think through things differently. We're talking about a church that reflects heaven. All these things are going to look like heaven, right? The fourth thing, we value being multi-ethnic. It is important for us to not just be a single ethnicity in this church. And I want to see us improve in that area. I want to see us focus in that area even more. When we were first starting our church and we said that this was going to be a focus of ours, I would tell you both white and black pastors would tell me, you're not going to be able to do it. They were like, just in case you didn't know, that's pretty impossible for a black pastor to do in the South. And I said, we're going to do it. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to do it better than we have done it. Can I get some agreement? We're going to do it better than we have done it. What we have done here is designed an experience that considers multiple cultures of people. Even down to how we, the worship that we choose to sing, everything we do is intentional to bridge multiple cultures together as one. What you have to do individually is also make sure you don't get comfortable only inviting people to church who looks like you. And most of you do that because you don't have any relationships with nobody that don't look like you. Which is a, all right. Because how are we going to do that in Reflect Heaven? You know, one thing I love is if you go through my phone, you go through anything, you will always see that I have a variety of different people that I communicate with. Amen? And it allows me to go into any circle and find relatability. Now, I'm always going to be Ronaldo because I ain't got nothing to give you but this. Amen? This is all I got. But I know how to be relatable in every circle because I build my life accordingly. This is not just something I focus on in the body. I focus on this in corporate America. One of the things that I'm known for and why I travel the country speaking is on diversity, inclusion, and equity, trying to teach people how to bridge the gap of inclusion in the workplace. And inclusion is not exclusion of anybody. Amen. The word of God says, Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of what? All the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus wants all nations represented in his church. All nations. All of them. And he values the individuality of each of them. He's not looking for us all to assimilate and become just like, we're going to be different. But we're going to learn how to take that difference and work together. Amen? So we don't try to just make people conform. You got to become, if you're going to work out here, you got to. No, we understand that there are unique differences, and we seek to do a great job as a church of embracing the uniqueness of every culture. I look forward to the day that you look out and you see you cannot label the church at all. Can we do it? Will we do it? Absolutely. Here's the final thing. We value worship. We're talking about a church that reflects heaven. You cannot reflect heaven without worship being a centerpiece of what you do. Remind you can come. It literally is the only thing that we're going to do for eternity. Everything else we do will have an expiration date. Worship will never expire. It is something that we're going to do forever, and it's something, personally, that's why I never get tired of it. Worship is such a vital part of my life. It is the recharge that we need in our lives on a regular basis. I'm telling you now, when I'm frustrated and I get in worship, something changes. When I'm sick and I get in worship, something changes. When I'm aggravated and I get in worship, something changes. I came with a mindset this morning because what you didn't know is that the enemy tried to attack me physically this week. Tried to do all kind of stuff. But what I knew is that when I got in this place, I was going to worship. And it didn't matter what's going on in my life. I understand this is the most vital thing that I can do. That when I'm in any condition, when I'm in any situation, the best thing I can do is invite God to be a part of it. And so when we say words like heaven, come now, or let it be heaven on earth, we're saying, God, that it is important to us that you are a part of everything we do. We don't ever want to design an experience that doesn't consider you, God. We don't ever want to do anything. We don't ever want to go out into the community, into the public, and people don't see us. In order for some of you to reflect the character of God better, you need to be humble. You need to get rid of pride. I'm going to tell you, there are many times that I'm out and about and people make me mad. I be in restaurants and they say all kind of stuff and I be like, Ronaldo, remember who you are. Because that ratchet begins to rise and I want to release it. And then I remember that I am a pastor. Amen. And even if I didn't remember that, I should remember that I'm a believer. And that I have told others that I am. And I have to consider how I respond to situations based upon who I say that I am. I love Revelation 7, 10 through 12. It says, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and what? Worship God. They sang amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Everyone and everything in heaven worships God. It's the most vital thing that we do. Stand to your feet all over this place.